الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. The topic for the day is Ulama of Deoband. And the line of the Ulama of Deoband that stands out most is the line of Taqwa. And what is the essence of Taqwa? One is to leave out haram. And the second is تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Anything that could eventually lead you up to haram, then you avoid that as well. Not just the haram, but that which is doubtful, which could eventually lead you up to haram, then you guard yourself against that as well. The one thing that stands out in the life of our elders was their caution with regards to finance and women. Al-Mu'a Qasim Saab Narutwi Rahmatullah Ali was outside the masjid of Chatta and a whole heap of gold coins was placed and he dusted it out like though dirt. And thereafter he says to his khadim, see, we also earn and others also earn. People of the world, they also earn. But the difference is that we run away from it and this thing runs after us. And the others run after it. So that's the difference between us and between them. So this aspect of money, finance, etc. and taqwa with regards to this is so important, so clear and so important. When we talk of taqwa, then this is now about the most repeated command in the Quran. Sometimes we'll have one verse and the command of taqwa being repeated twice. You want a safe passage to the hereafter, then it's taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take a provision and the best provision for the road, this life and the next life, is taqwa. You are looking for honor and respect, then the best ingredient is taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. People speak about wealth, people speak about status, people speak about lineage, but the Quran Sharif says that the most honorable amongst you is the one who's got taqwa. Then again, this is a time of confusion, right? There's so much of grey area, there's no more black and white, everything has become grey. So to make out what is black and grey, black and white, then one ingredient is taqwa. إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you have taqwa, then Allah Pak will give you an ability to discern, to make out haram and halal. But that is, you must have the taqwa. When you have the taqwa, then Allah Pak blesses you with the light that you can see clearly. And then again, there are a lot of students here. So taqwa is an ingredient for knowledge as well. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Fear Allah Ta'ala and Allah Pak will teach you. So all around you see that this ingredient, this is a common ingredient in all, this taqwa. Once you got that, then the road ahead becomes clear to you. But if that is not in you, then nothing is clear. Then the man's life is that, how can I make a plan for this to come right? How can I make a plan for this to become right? So it's making a plan and not looking for what Allah wants. And people have seen this thing here and they've seen the corruption that it brings. One woman, she took a vow that if my child recovers from his illness, then I'll get the imam to play the drum, the tambourine on the mimbar on a Friday before the Jummah. Allah willed that the child recovered fully. She went up to the imam and this is the vow I made. I said, how can that happen? She said, but I took this vow now and you have to make a plan for me. So the imam says, you see me right and I will see you right. You know, it's a very, very difficult one, but one vow will be enough, I think. And I'll do it for you. One mil. So the imam goes on to the mimbar and he says, brothers, you see, this music is haram. See, I got a guitar and I got a tambourine. To play the tambourine this way is also haram, and to play it that way is also haram. To play the guitar this way is also haram, and he's playing it for 10 minutes. So, it's the time that we want to make things work, make it halal. So I've been thinking of for some time that Allah says, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." You make dua, and I will answer your dua. And the Muslim ummah is going through trouble all the time. Afghan finished, and Sham finished, and it's Palestine. So there must be some problem why our du'as are not getting answered as we would expect them to get answered. There must be some reason. So I saw three things that is becoming an impediment on this way of acceptance. One is that we are not doing Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi Munkar. Because the hadith says, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You must carry on encouraging the right and stopping the wrong. And if not, you will make dua and وَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ. Your duas will be rejected. So you are pious, and the pious amongst you are making dua. But the duas are being turned down. Why this work is not being done? So at every level, whichever way, according to your capacity, without putting yourself into problems, but how can you encourage? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Ahmadiyya, he says that one of the reasons why we're not seeing progress in our lives is that person has got that ability to stop it. He's not stopping it. Within your house, within your neighborhood, within your friends, if there's some wrong, some vice, but we're not stopping it. Mufti Tanwir Sahib Ahmadiyya says, with regards to people that are senior and respected, then people present their problems to them. And many a times, in the process of presenting, there's some ghibah that is made. Swanya did this, and he said this, and he said this. And there are some things that is not permissible for you to listen. But now you're in that podium, and you can't stop that person from talking that. But you're also a party to the wrong. So Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah, how you would stop it? You would stop it in a little bit of a nice way. You would say, that person that is speaking out against me or whatever else, he's still better than you. He's speaking behind me. And you got no shame, you are blurting this word in my presence. You're attacking me in my presence. So somehow, how to discourage this? Now, we don't consider this backbiting, rebirth, gossip. It's become like umum balwa, like a common thing now, and people will just sweep it under the carpet. It's not a serious problem. But وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Sometimes it's a false allegation. And we just hear from here. And then in the sight of Allah, it's a very serious crime. So one is halal and haram. One is amar bil ma'ruf. And then halal and haram, my one friend was working when there was that Bosnian problem, so he was taking essential food, etc., across to Bosnia. They had chartered a flight, and next to him was a Jewish rabbi. So this Jewish rabbi is telling him, see, we know that your religion is true. We know. It's from Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala's assistance is with you. There's no two ways about it. But what we are planning, how to stop the help of Allah Ta'ala reaching you. That's our whole plan. So my friend asked him, alright, then in the process, what are you doing? You know, to stop the help of Allah Ta'ala reaching you. So we are trying our best to feed you with haram through the banks. I'm not worried about the barriers of halal and haram. Not worried about it. Send a woman out of the street. Send them, let them lose every vestige of shame. And let them be endorsed by ulama-i-kiram. And ulama-i-kiram also make these type of statements that such a huge treasure of human resources, how can that be wasted? Now that is a slander against Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha when the Beast of the Men ruled out, said, the best thing for you, for woman, is the house. And Fatima, you do the work of the house, Ali, you go and do the work outside. So as though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't realize that he's wasting a huge treasure of human resources. So it's a direct insult on the personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And over and above, then you're getting people, personalities, who will encourage this openly. And nobody to stop it. Nobody stop it. Nobody should discourage it. Nabi Sallam is saying that that's the best thing for the woman to be in the house. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ Stay in your house. But Nabi Sallam, now you must go out, go into the street, go into the bazaar, stand shoulder to shoulder with men. So, one is not doing this. And this results in your du'as getting rejected. Right? And then, number two is haram and halal. We're not concerned about it. Don't even bat an eye when a haram is taking place. You know, it's become like part of the life. You're seeing it, music is playing, someone is playing with the video in the masjid, right? And then you don't have the heart to just stop him. And I say, don't put yourself into problem, but think of a way how to stop this person here. Because sometimes it is one person, and as a result, everybody gets affected. See, the hadith says, لا تنزل الرحمة على قوم في قاتي ورحمين. One person is severing relationship. As a result, the whole community gets affected. So same here, we're not correcting, we're not stopping, just carrying on, not making any effort how to do it. Those that have got a little bit of knowledge, you pass it on to the others. Your home, your family, your children, your friends. As Mawlana Tanvi Sahib says, what a beautiful face he says. We've got workers that are working for us. Sometimes they are Muslims, new Muslims, or foreigners they are working for us. But if they break any of our commands, we are ready to reprimand them. Become late, we are ready to reprimand them. But you don't break my command. Whatever I tell you, just do it. So you come at 8 o'clock, coming at 10 o'clock, watch out, I'll fire you. But the same worker is breaking the command of Allah, he's not reading namaz properly. You can see that his families are not dressed correctly. But now he can break the command of Allah, that's alright, that's acceptable. But don't break my law. So your law, your rights are greater than the rights of Allah Ta'ala also. Can't we arrange some program, teach them, send them in Jamaat, correct them. After all, they are at our mercy. And then we treat them in this manner. If Allah Ta'ala just reverse the tables, then, and how long does it take Allah Ta'ala, for Allah Ta'ala to just change it? So it's our duty, those that are under us, coming under our influence, how do we correct them? Stop them, correct them, make them understand. Like they will listen to us in the job description, they will listen to us if we speak to them gently, correctly, politely, treat them like human beings, like our equals, then they'll listen to you. Many times you get cases, they are just living, and there's no marriage, there's no nikah done, and you got children, and they don't know that this type of living is haram. We know about it, and we don't correct it, don't bring it to their attention. Zina is taking place, we don't worry about it. So long as my work, my duties are not violated, I'm not concerned. So one is this Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, and we're just disregarding this. So if every person, according to his capacity, his jurisdiction, he corrects it, he brings it to their attention. Any wrong, be to his tongue, whichever way. So my friend asked the Jewish rabbi, and where did you get this from? You know, that the du'as will be rejected if there is haram that is consumed. He said, no, I understood it from, see how well they study the kitabs. So now I studied, I saw it in the life of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Because Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he was noticing that when any wrong ruler comes in, and there was a group of righteous people, they would make dua, and that person would be eliminated, something would happen to him. So Hajjaj understood that when a person eats haram, then فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ His du'as can't be accepted. When he understood this, so he called his five people, fed them nicely. Couple of good days, couple of good meals, he fed them. After a month or two, then he says to them, see, now I'm quite clear, I'm feeling secure, that now your du'as won't work against me, because I fed you for this period for with haram. So how can your du'as get accepted? فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُلُ. So it's not that they're not aware of our kitab, they know. And they know now what will delay the process. So the haram that we know, and the haram that is clear before us, can't we just stop it? The faras that we are clear about, keeping a beard, observing parda, making nikah, not getting into shameful acts, etc., abstaining from things that are, you know, drugs, etc. So abstaining from these things, that we know about it, and can't we discourage? Through our capacity, our jurisdiction, our influence, can't we stop this thing? So this is the one thing that now rejects or distances your acceptance. The second thing is haram and halal, and we're not concerned about it. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Allah promise, you make dua, I'll answer it. But then, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Trust me and listen to me. You want your du'as to be answered, then what are you supposed to be doing? Listen to me and trust me, believe in me. I will answer your du'as. But now, we're not concerned about halal, haram. We're not concerned that this thing is happening around us, and that we are worried, why aren't our du'as getting accepted? Going to the Haram Sharif, before the Muslims are making du'a, but it's not getting answered, so what? So every person, in the words of the more Imam Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, when you're doing dini work, then deed with that niyat that is for my own correction. I'm not doing it for your correction, for my own correction. And the day you are going to be doing it for the next person's correction, is that tumhari pardi ka waqt aa gaya. Then you're going to collapse. So we do it for our own benefit, our own security. So this ayat that I recited, this ayat is heard in nearly every nikah. So Allah Ta'ala knows that taqwa is a very broad thing, and to adopt it in one stroke is going to be difficult. So Allah Ta'ala, in His compassion, in His love, He shows us an easy procedure how you will be able to learn taqwa and get the taqwa right. So in different ayats, Allah Ta'ala shows how to get that. Like for example, ittaqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat. Fear Allah Ta'ala, how you get that right thing now, what you sent forward. Tomorrow you'll be alone just now. The Qiyamah, what have you sent forth? And listen, brothers, even in this age, Allah Ta'ala listens to you. He watches you. You are sincere, you are good. Some 3-4 weeks back, the top servant, surgeon of Durban, he passed away. Dr. Harun, right? He passed away. Simple person, but I think the doctor sedated him and he came up, his family was around. So he's telling his family, but you know what? Jannat is a very, very beautiful place, man. Jannat is a too beautiful place. So I got anxious. Ye kya kar raha tha? He already saw his maqam in Jannat already. And this was just minutes before he passed away. Saying, hey, Jannat is a too beautiful place. So the good in him was he was regular in namaz. Number two was that he had a lot of respect for ulama-i kiram and the righteous. A lot of respect by Padia, Chota Mota, other ulama, a lot of respect. Maybe he can't practice 100%, but I never see him to ever disrespect or speak against any alim. Any alim, any senior person, never really speak out against them. That was the second thing. Third thing is, he was ever helpful any time of the day and night. It must have been about 77 when he passed away. But any time of the day and night, even the covert time, someone wanted a circumcision done. That he put him on the kitchen table, and right, let me do it, finish. So any type of help, any person wanted, but he was ever to do it. أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُوا لِلنَّاسِ. Who is the best? Who is the greater asset? I remember some 2 years ago, when a black man came to him. So what happened to the black man, he was a tailor, and he was using the machine, and he cut off his hand. And he cut off his hand, and put him to Addington Hospital, and all the big surgeons that were there, they all agreed that they have to amputate. He just jumped the bed, said, hey, kal to mera haath kat jayega, yahan se ghaib ho jao. Tomorrow, I have no hand, let me run away. So they told him about this Dr. Harun. So Dr. Harun heard the case, didn't charge him 1 cent. They would have charged him to get that about 100,000 rand. Didn't charge him anything. A small surgery. It took about 2 or 3 hours, but he finished his hand. But now we got scared, because that man was so appreciative, So he sent that photo, as his hand was cut, he sent that photo. And after he was fixed up and he's working, he sent it all around, viral. So we got scared now, because this was done not in a theater. It's supposed to be done in a theater. He's sending it viral. But that was the caliber of the person. Want to help any person, black, white, cousin, no cousin, friend, no friend, but want to help. You got the money, is all right, very good. You don't have the money, I'll treat you equally to the person that has given money. Now that, he didn't worship money. His whole life was, what service I can do for this person here, that person. How can I serve the person? I'll make a plan for the person. What an intricate thing, all the surgeons had given up. He said, no, I'll try and make it work. So that was the third thing. Some days back, and he had a lot of taluk with the ulama of Deoband, a lot of taluk. You can't believe. No disrespect, don't speak against them. A lot of respect. I think these are the things that were salient in him that brought him to this maqam. There was another Egyptian that passed away some days back. Right? He also had taluk with Tabligh Jamaat. Again, Jamaat is related to the Darul Uloom Deoband, because the more Ilyas Abraham Tariq is the student of the Shaykh Ulinda Rahmatullahi. So they connected. So a lot of taluk, a lot of mohabbat, punctual in his work, and committed to his work, not idar-udar, not getting involved in unnecessary arguments and discussions, etc. What doesn't concern us, we leave it out. That was our ulama-i-kiram. Now, our topic is what he did, and what this person did, and what that person did. And many a times, Allah forbid us, the news and smartphone, the news that became our Quran, and the Quran shall be shelved. What Allah wants to give us, that we don't understand. The news that makes us panic, that gives us anxiety. What we're supposed to be looking at, Allah's words, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words, that is one side. We don't have the yaqeen in that. But what the news has to say, Newsweek, whatever it has to say, that we got all of yaqeen. And everybody wants to give his 2 cents afterwards. So this Egyptian is in Riyazul Jannah. And it's about Asr time on a Friday, between Asr and Maghrib. And he tells his brother, Al-Mawtu Hulun. Death is so sweet, so enjoyable. I was looking on the stain of Makhful Shami, rahmatullahi alayhi. So someone asked him while he's passing away, that you're so joyous, so cheerful, but I heard that moment is very, very difficult. Sakarat, in Al-Mawtu Sakarat. So it's difficult. So, it is difficult, but Allah makes you so happy, shows you things, that you forget about the pain. So the pain is there, but if he wants to make it easy, who can stop Allah Ta'ala? So now, this Egyptian is in namaz, and is the last rakat in the asr for us. And the sajda he didn't get up from. They found Khuda ke pyar mein. So, by remember this line, that is not about how good you're living, lifestyle, that's not the criteria. The criteria is how good you live. We have made the criteria how good the lifestyle is. Flying here, running around there, or this convenience, that comfort, that holiday. So we made the criteria of our life, the lifestyle. Lifestyle must be like this. The money must be like this. Investment must be like this. Holidays must be like this. But the criteria by Allah Ta'ala is how good you live, how well. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ You want to live right, you'll go right. But you live wrong, and you want to go right, then that's a far distant cry. So Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, shows us how to get there. How to get this taqwa. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا Say that which is straight. Straight talk. Now, I was looking at Mawad Shabir Ahmad Usmani and other people's tafsir, what do they have to say about straight talk? So they got about 3 or 4 points that they mentioned about straight talk. One is this, that your niyat must be right. when I'm speaking to you, I must be right. See now, how important the niyat is. So, if it's my friend, dear to me, my brother, then his faults I will hide, I will conceal, I won't speak about him. But if that person is not my friend, or I don't like him, I will then take him to the cleaners, I will expose him, I will broadcast him, all the world will get to know. So, is my niyat right? That was my friend, and knew him, my son, so I conceal it. But not my friend, and then I publicize it, I go and disclose the thing. So is the niyat right? What is in the heart? In fact, supposed to be the other way around, that the one that is closer to you, that you be more firm on him than the person that is quite a distance from you. So the one that is closer, the niyat must be right. Our ulama of Dioban, that's the topic. Ahmad Mohd Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah invited his ustad to the Sheikh Ulin Rahmatullah Kanpur when he was teaching there. And I was talking on a very high, good level. And Ahmad Mohd Tanvi Sahib says, I was getting impressed, you know. And if only the senior ulama of Kanpur were around, you know, they would really be impressed. And just then the senior ulama came in. And abruptly, Sheikh Ulin Rahmatullah just stopped the talk. So anyway, as more time is Sabrahmada says, and I told him, you know, that was the time we had Mokata. That was the actual time to mention this, you know. So Miraji may be Ibad Uzra. My heart also the same thought went. But then I thought immediately, to Ikhlas Kahara. Ikhlas Kahagaya. Where is the Ikhlas? I'm doing it just to impress on this person and that person. Then there's no Ikhlas. Then what's the good of the talk? So mindful, so cautious. Halal, haram. The intention. So that's the first thing that we need to see, is that right? To get this thing right. The second ingredient is that we have verified the substance. So we talk of Iran and America, etc. So when I look at the story, so sometimes I think maybe it's staged up, right? Played. Because all the time, Iran and Israel were friends. Napkin friends. So close they were. So of course, yeah. But now suddenly this thing happened. So you know whether it's staged or it's a real, it's a reality, right? News is giving something, but you know the media, so it plays a game. Like you see, some years ago with the 9/11, right? There's no scientific evidence of the 9/11, but the way the media portrays it, like it's a fact. And I was looking at every news bulletin at that time, you know, following 9/11. They must start off like that. And then they give the news. Following 9/11, and then, so that was to brainwash. So the media's work is to brainwash. So that became our Quran Sharif, and we shall the Quran Sharif. Hadith and teaching of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we left it out. Can't we at least introduce these kitabs of our elders, of the human, the Fazail kitabs, Basi Zawar, the Sirat kitabs, as a daily routine in our house? Then, instead of we getting mesmerized and hypnotized with all these things here, we let the words of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran Sharif, mesmerize us, goes deep into our heart. Once you fear Allah Ta'ala, then you don't fear anything. You fear everything else because that fear of Allah Ta'ala is not at the level that it's supposed to be. So you think about what's going to happen, you must stockpile, whatever, all of things are going out. I don't say don't stockpile, but that mustn't become the primary question. Primary question is do we have the taqwa in us? Do we have that? Or is this left and shelved and is disregarded? The taqwa and then qulu qawlan sadida. The second is the information that we got. We are verifying it, and also we try to work out, is it something to be discussed or not? Isn't it great panic now? Talking to a woman now, that talk about all frightening things. So is it something to be discussed or something at a different? Sometimes a lot of things are not supposed to be discussed. Useless talks, futile talk, but you must. Oh, this person got divorced, so it happened to bhai, aapko iske saath kya matlab? What happened? Does it relate to you? Doesn't relate to you, why must you discuss it? Someone came to Mawla Abdul Rabsal, right? And he says, I want to know the differences between Hazrat Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. I said, tumhara kya pesha hai? Main to kapra bechne wala hun. I sell cloth material. What's your work? I sell shoes. So, you know, go and you sell, you do your business, sell your shoes, and you sell your clothing, right? Inshallah, Allah Pak will not ask you on the grief about this, and nor will He ask you in the hereafter. So why get yourself involved in these things here? Allah Pak is not going to question you. Someone asked about the parents of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the same alim says, I want to know from you, do you know the faraz of namaz? And all your qazas are up to date or not? No, I didn't do that. Ta'ajjub ki baat hai, the thing that you want to be answerable for, that you don't know, and you're not concerned. But that which you're not going to be answerable for, you're judging this thing, Allah is not going to ask you about this thing. Why must you get into this thing? So a lot of our time, valuable time, is just consumed in this. Ramadan, no Ramadan, post-Ramadan, pre-Ramadan. And you see, you carefully examine the time that's gone in all this. Layani. You know, when the ulama has condensed the hadith, they show that all comes into, the whole thing comes into, the treasure of hadith comes into four hadiths. One is to leave out things that don't concern you. Min husni islamil mari tarku mal. So as though that is one quarter of your Islam. And today we feel one quarter of the Islam is to get engaged in things that don't concern us. Works or words that don't concern us, and that becomes our ibadah, our pastime. But then the dini thing, but it's just a pastime. We just want to say, walima table, that Maulana said this and he said this. He said this and he said this. But aapko uske saath kya matlab? Does it concern you hereafter, your life, your qabr? Ask yourself, is it going to be beneficial in your qabr? Is it going to be beneficial in the hereafter? Fine, get involved in it. So that's the second thing, that we verify the information. Am I saying the right thing? Do I need to say it, or I must not talk about it at all? The third thing is that when we're discussing these type of things, then is our approach right? Right? We need to say the right thing, but in the right approach as well. I can also be very sarcastic. I can be very, very aggressive. I can run the person down. Right? The time, you know, you're like a swine, you are. You know? Eat so much. I can say that. And it's true that swine eats so much, right? It lives just for its shahwat, so it lives so. So what I'm saying is right, but is that the way to talk to a person? So what approach? How do we tell the person? There's a better way, alright? You know, I think you're a good Muslim and your health is good, look after your health. So this is the health plan. So the approach is changed, corrected. That person feels I was respected, I was not disrespected, I was not disregarded. So in return, what Allah Pak will do for you. So the Mawad Shabir Sahib Rahman says, Yuslih lakum, I think it's got it from Muzi or Quran, Abdul Qadir Sahib, Yuslih lakum a'malakum. So I'm just giving you the essence of the ayat, right? She'll make your works acceptable. Akhirat, she'll make your work acceptable. In this dunya as well, he will make your works, all your affairs work out. Everything will work out for you in this world. And the hereafter, he'll make your works acceptable. So I ask you, is there anything greater? In the hereafter, Allah will make your works all acceptable. In this dunya, he will see that all your affairs are going smooth and going well. So such an easy prescription, look after the tongue. You kulu kawlan sadida, understand what it means to keep a straight tongue. And then Allah Ta'ala blesses you with taqwa, and then yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir, forgive your sin. So the dunya is covered, the akhirah is covered. Ask you, do you need anything further? Just look after the tongue. In this day, our ulama say, tongue and eyes. Look after the tongue, look after the eyes. Many people are collapsing and falling, misuse of the eye. And we don't count it as a wrong, looking at the video, looking at a porn, but now that feeling that it's wrong, that is out of the heart. You know, such a serious crime, where that ihsas, that feeling of the wrong, is no more in the heart. So that's a dangerous thing. Shah Abdul Aziz, he says this, and he quoted the thing from Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi. What is a fortress? Man tahawana bil adab, uqiba bil hirmani sunnah. You know, we think this mustab, small thing, so we just overlook it, come into the masjid for the right. A lot of time I see students and advanced years, but up to now, still the right, left, they are concerned about shoes, toilet, masjid, right, left, they're not concerned about it. Holding the shoe on the left hand, Quran Sharif in the right hand. So this adab is like a fortress for the sunnah. You got that right, the sunnah will be in your life. Right? And looking after the sunnah, the wajib will be right. Looking after the wajib, the faraz will be right. And you're looking after the faraz, then your iman is right. But now you relaxed about the adab, small, considering it to be a small thing. So what if I see this girl? So what? Not a big thing now. Not a big deal. Not a train smash. So everything becomes insignificant. Istighfar. And then that leads you right to the border of disbelief. So all these adab, etc., as though they are fortresses, they are protection, protecting your sunnah, your faraz, your wajib, and ultimately your iman. Allah grant us all tawfiq.